The topic of the sermon is killing the flesh. The topic of the message is killing the flesh. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, in the Amplified Bible, the Bible says, "For the word of God speaks," say it with me, "speaks, is alive." Are you alive? All right. "Is alive and full of power." Wow. The word of God speaks, it's alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the division line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and shifting and analyzing and judging every thought and purposes of the heart. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed and naked and defenseless to the eyes of him whom we have to do. Ha! Touch your neighbor, tell him, "You are in trouble, bro." Find another one and tell them, "You are defenseless now." Tell somebody else, "You've got clothes on, but you're actually naked." You came to the wrong place. You see, the Bible says the word of God, it speaks. That book comes alive when you have a relationship with Jesus. It is speaking to you. It is alive. It is energizing. It is what else? He says they're operative, making things active. It's effective. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing line of the breath of life, the immortal spirit, joints and marrow. And it says here that nothing can be concealed from the God that you are busy with. Have you ever tried to kill something in your life and it didn't want to die? I mean, like a buck or something. A bug. Not a bug, not an animal, a bug. Not an antelope, insect, a fly or a mosquito. You're just trying to kill the sucker, but it's not dying. It's like a cat with 9 lives. It keeps on coming back. Have you never killed a bug? You bunch of triagers. I'm asking, have you tried to kill a bug and the thing doesn't want to die? It's like a kid keeps on coming back. It's like a cat with 9 lives. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? No. Your flesh is exactly like that. It doesn't want to die. And you have to kill it with its desires and its worldly lusts, or it will eventually kill you. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Wow, the Word of God is active, it's effective, it is energizing, it is operating in your life, it makes you feel naked before God, you can't hide anything, it dissects your thoughts and the deepest intents of your hearts. You can fool Tabu, you can fool another leader in church, but you ain't gonna fool God. You can argue away that you're not a sinner. You can tell everybody that you're a good person. But when it comes to the word of God and he is finished with you, you stand naked, defenseless, powerless. And God is saying, "This is how you are. You are now in front of me. And let me explain to you how you function." Can't hide nothing from God. So many of us run away from the Word of God instead of embracing the Word of God. But you, when you embrace the word of God, it is active to heal. It is active. It's energizing. It will build you up. It's never going to leave you ineffective. And if you don't know Jesus, it's going to immediately tell you that you don't know Jesus. You're going to know that you don't know Jesus. And then it's going to give you the solution how to know Jesus. And when you have Jesus and you read the word, it is constantly speaking to you, guiding you, encouraging you, lifting you up, showing you, digesting you, helping you to discover who you are and how you function, telling you that you're a spiritual being, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Are you with me? And the word tells us over here that if you keep on living according to the flesh, and not according to the spirit, you will die. Now, I want you to know something about the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to die. It's like a cat with 9 lives. You try to kill it, the sucker comes back. But if you keep on playing in the flesh, if you keep on flirting in the flesh, you will surely die. So why is killing the flesh so important? Tell your neighbor, I thought this was a church. Tell somebody else, I thought they are giving life in this place. Now they are talking about killing. We like to kill the right stuff. This thing keeps real life away from you. You're not killing this sucker, it's going to suck life out of you. And Satan is using it today to take the life out of you, to make you feel worthless, to get you back into worldly things and far from the things of God. Where God is saying, those who live in the flesh will never be able to please God. Why is it so important to kill the flesh in your life? Romans 8:8 says the following, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Period. Full stop. Oh, but I'm a good person. Good people go to hell. quick. Most good people are sitting in hell today. Because we have a perspective of what is good, worldly good. God has a perspective what is good, and that's godly good. And we have to get to his program if we want to go to his nation or his country. So it's nothing about good or bad. It's about being right with God, being in line with God's word. And we all want to please God. I mean, we all that's here loving church and loving Jesus, we're actually here because we want to please him. Because the Bible says, do everything and anything as unto the Lord. So you want to please him. Now, if you keep on living in the flesh and not killing that sucker, that situation, playing with the flesh over here, is going to get you in a place where you are not pleasing your Father. And Satan understands this. So I want to tell you that there's a reason why God wants you to kill the flesh. Because it's keeping you away from pleasing God. Number one. Choosing to live in the flesh will never lead you to a place where you can please God. If you are found in the flesh, you cannot please God. In Galatians 5:17, in the Amplified Bible, if you have your Bibles here, follow me please. It says there. Thank you. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, godless human nature. For these are antagonistic. Am I right? Almost. I'll take it. To each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. Have you ever wanted to go out and then something tells you that's a bad idea? After you met Jesus. Something tells you, hey, bro, that's not a good idea. You know, the desires that is drawing you to those places is contrary. It's against the desires of the Spirit telling you, bad idea, bro. And there's a reason for that, because it says it will help you know to go back to those places. So the flesh is contrary to the Spirit. The desires of the flesh is opposite of that of the Spirit. And the Spirit and the flesh are in conflict with each other. They're not best buds. They're in conflict. They're in war. You can't have the Spirit and with the desires of the flesh. What is the desire of the flesh? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, sleep around, flirting. Maybe I'm talking to the wrong church. Wanting to go drink, wanting to smoke, wanting to flirt, wanting to have a... It's all desires of the flesh. It is contrary. It's at war with that of the Spirit. And you have to know why it is so important to kill the flesh and the desires of the flesh is because it is absolutely opposite of God's Spirit. In John 1:13 it says, you were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So meaning you are born from God's Spirit when you are born again, you have Jesus in your life. So it is absolutely opposite of whatever the world can give you. So you have to constantly check your desires. Are they in line with the Word of God? And I'm not saying that you should not have desires. The Bible says that God gives us the desires of our hearts. But there's some wrong desires that God has not given you. A relationship outside of marriage is not given by God. Flirting, sleeping is not given. It's contrary to the real desires of God. But stay with me, because if you don't kill the flesh, these desires of the flesh will be built and they will feed from worldly things and worldly situations and worldly friends, so they become strong like bodybuilders. And then you don't feed yourself in the Spirit over here, and you are like, you know, a person that hasn't eaten in 3 weeks and never goes to the gym. You're like so thin, small. And every time that bodybuilder on the other side of say, hey, you will come with me. And you're too afraid for the bodybuilder, you just go. And then you don't understand why you find yourself in all these places. Because your spirit is so weak and he's not been in the gym, he's not praying, he's not fasting, he's not doing what God is saying, he's not in the Word. And every time the flesh flexes muscles, you just submit. You can't feed those suckers. You keep on feeding them, they will ultimately lead you to death. They're going to kill you, those desires. Are you with me? Family, you are a spiritual being. You have a soul and you live in a body. And when you are born again, you have to know that you are born again, not because of the will of man, not because of the will of COC, not because of any other will, but the will of God. God wants you to be born again. When you're born again, it is because God wanted you to be born again. You are now a spiritual being with an eternal, immortal spirit. Your soul is living. That is your mind, your emotions, and your will. And your body is your body. It is filled with fleshly and worldly desires. The Word says that the Word of God is active and it is full of power, meaning it is ready like an ever-ready battery to sort out your mess. It is powerful, like Almighty God powerful, to when you say go, it will come into your life and it will start to work out and work out your situation and your salvation for you. It's active, it's ready, powerful, it's operative. You don't have to say to the Word, will you please help them pray? The Word is operative. It's ready. It's like a soldier ready for war. Give the command, the word is ready. It means the word is energizing. It's effective. It's not just, you can't come to church and not be energized by the word. It's effective to show you where you are wrong, where you should work on, what you should do to get yourself out of certain messes. It's effective to remind you that God is for you and not against you, that God wants to help you, that He has a hope in the future for you. But the word is also exposing, sifting you, analyzing you, and judging. Have you heard the term, don't judge me? You sit here and I preach this message and you feel judged. Don't blame me. I'm just a preacher. The word judges you. And it's not judging you to condemn you. It is judging you to show you that you are wrong and you need Him to save you. Now, if the word is analyzing, exposing, sifting, and judging, what should we do as church leaders? Shouldn't we analyze your life? Shouldn't you go through a sifting process? I'm asking. Is there not going to be times where you feel judged? I don't want to go there, they judge me. The Bible says you are already judged because you don't believe the word of God. This book cannot judge you. Cannot condemn you into death. It can only judge you to help you sort out your mess. Yes, tell you this is wrong. Yeah. 2 and 2 gives 4. 2 and 2 doesn't give you 5. Yeah. Are you with me? So we learn to embrace the word. It is alive. It says here the word is exposing, sifting, analyzing, judging the every thought and purpose of the human heart. There is no creature on this planet that can conceal their lives from God or the sight of God. The Bible says all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of Him who we have to do. You are going to give account to God one day if you think about it. If you believe it or don't think about it, one day every one of us are going to stand on our lonesome before Almighty God, and you're going to give account of your life and the deeds you did on this world. It is better now to stand before the Word of God and say to Him, Lord, every Sunday, analyze me. Lord, every Sunday, sift me. Lord, every Sunday, judge me. If I started this sermon, I ask you, who wants to be like King David? Who wants to be like Dave? You would all put your hands up. But you know what made David special? The Bible says that David said every day, Lord, judge me according to your law. He placed himself under the thing that can expose sin, shortcomings, and everything in his life. He wasn't afraid to put himself under the law of God so that the law of God could show him his shortcomings so he could cry out to Jesus to help him in these areas. How much more should you and I embrace the word, knowing that it's active, it's effective, it's ready to help us? Are you with me? Now I'm talking to you and put so much focus on the word because you want to kill the flesh. The flesh ain't want to be killed. And one of the things that destroys the flesh is the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. This ain't Old Testament. He wrote it to the new born again person. He says, you live according to the flesh, you will die. Now, I just want to park here for a minute. Now, you read it, and then you think, I'm not going to die. I'm born again. Right. God loves me. And God, I'm living under grace. I'm not going to die. Now, tell that such story to Adam and Eve when God said to them, don't eat of that tree. They were living in perfect conditions, a perfect world, have relationship with a perfect God that came to them every morning and walked with them in perfect unity. And God said, if the two of you eat of that tree, you will die. They also thought, like many of you, ain't going to happen. God loves us. How will he let us die? Who's he going to have communion with? Who's he going to talk to if we die? Now, God loves me. Now, then in the New Testament, he says, you are born again. You are filled with the Spirit of God. He says, but if you keep on living according to the flesh, you will die. I think you should take it serious. I think you should realize that if God says you're going to die, you're going to die. He says, but if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. Meaning, friends, the Word of God, if you embrace it, it's going to help you to kill the flesh. When you move to a Spirit-led life, I want to live in the Spirit, Lord. I want to walk in the Spirit, Lord. I want to embrace the spiritual principles of the kingdom, God. He says, the more you walk towards that, it is putting to death the deeds of the flesh. It's killing the flesh. It's helping you to destroy the thing that doesn't want to die. Are you with me? She says, as many as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Jesus wants you to put to death the deeds of the body that you may live. The flesh doesn't want to be killed. Now, can I have Pastor Eugene and Stephen here? Okay, let me explain to you guys now this following. I hope I get it right. Who wants to be Jesus? You look like Jesus. You look like him with the beard and everything. And you will be the devil. You're a three-part being. You're a spiritual being. You have a soul. You live in the body. The spirit is connected with Jesus. Amen? The flesh, the body is connected to what? To the world. Yeah. Who controls the world? The devil. Now, say for instance, I'm the flesh. Nothing that lives wants to die. Even that bug that you wanted to kill, it also doesn't want to die. Right. Now, just imagine you hear that this oak wants to kill you. What are you going to do? Are you going to say, kill me, please? You're the flesh. The flesh is going to kick. It's going to punch. Don't get close to me. Don't get close to me. I don't want to die.
Right.
When you meet Jesus, your flesh is not going to go like this. Kill me, kill me, kill me, please. It still has this body, this guy shouting, come on, say no. Come on, kill him. Come on, don't let him treat you like that. Come on, don't listen to that.
Right.
Do you see this? So the flesh doesn't want to die. But God wants to kill the flesh. God doesn't want to kill the body. He wants to kill the desires of the flesh.
Amen.
This oak, Satan, tells you, don't be killed. Don't be killed. Don't be killed. Don't listen to them. Don't read your Bible. Don't come to church. That's what he does. But meantime, back at the ranch, he wants to kill the body.
Right.
The moment he gets you to submit to him, then he goes to kill your body. There's a huge difference. God wanted to kill the desires of the flesh, but he doesn't want to kill the body. He paid for your body. He doesn't want that thing dead, because if you're dead, you can't change the world. He doesn't want your body to be dead. But the fleshly desires in the body, this is what the oak is using.
Amen.
Makes you stronger. Tells you you're stronger when you don't submit. You're stronger when you don't give. You're stronger. And then you You don't do the things that's killing the fleshly desires. And then when he's got you, then he's got your comfort. He has now smooth talked you. And then he goes after your body. And then he kills the body, because then when he kills the body, you're out of here. You are useless to God then. So you can't play with the desires of the flesh. You have to understand that the desires of the flesh is going to kick against the things of God. It's going to fight the things of God. But if you yield to God's ways by reading your word and getting into the spirit, then God destroys these desires. But remember, they're like cat with nine lives. They don't just go away, because you have an incorruptible body that is connected to this world. It's like just putting a bandage on it. You keep on putting it down. Keep on putting it down so that you can become stronger and stronger in the spirit, stronger in the things of God. So later, you don't have to, when Satan is shouting, oh, no, 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 let's do this, your spirit says no. Now your spirit is the bodybuilder. Now your spirit is the one with the, and now the flesh, the desires are like meek and weak. Amen. Give them a hand. Friend, Satan ultimately wants to kill the body. And he uses the fleshly desires to make you believe that he wants you actually to live. You don't have a life. You have to kill the fleshly desires in your body so that you can have real life. And God knows when the desires are dead. It will make a way for more living in your life. When that desires are being slaughtered, then it will make a way of more eternal desires, abundant life in the things of God in your life. He wants you to kill and destroy the desires of this flesh. And Satan knows by keeping it alive, it will ultimately lead to your eternal and physical death. The flesh does not want to be killed, and it kicks against anything that wants to destroy it. In Romans chapter 7, verse 9, it says, I was once alive without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. After Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they eventually died. First, what happened? They spiritually died. Then 930 years or something, Adam actually died physically. Are you guys with me? And ever since then, God is on a master plan to get us alive in the spirit again. And that's why he say you have to be born again. Because when you are born again, God gives you a new spirit. You have a soul and you live in the body. Are you with me? So Paul says, once I was alive, but when the commandment came, I died. Stay with me. He says, but the commandment comes from God. So why did God's commandment kill me? He says, no, the law is holy, it's just, and it's good. You have to understand that the people of the Old Testament lived under the law. The law was given to the people to help them to have a relationship with God. It explained to them that if they live under the law, they can then have a relationship with God. God can now live in and among them as long as they follow the law. But some of them followed the law in such a way that they thought the law could make them right with God. But the law could never make them right with God. What the law actually did is the law came and exposed the thing that is slowly killing them and keeping them away from God, and that is sin. Stay with me. So what happened is, the more they embraced the law to be right with God, the more they actually died. and sin was exposed. The Bible says the law was given to show us how sinful sin really is. But just imagine you upholding something from God, but you're now slowly dying. What are you going to think? It's bad for me. It's not good for me. It is bad for them to be right with God, but it was good for them to deal with the real problem. Are you with me? It says, under the law, sin kicked against the very thing God gave man to expose. A lot of people started to reject God's law. So sin started to kick. Even today, people are rejecting the law of God. They kick against the thing that God gave to people to expose sin, to help you to understand how sinful sin is. It is not there to make you right with God. The only way you can be right with God is through Jesus. But some people need to walk into God's perfect moral law to realize, but hey, I fall short of this standard, so that they can now look not to themselves or the church, but to Jesus. But the flesh kicked against the things of God. It will always kick against the things of God. The flesh will always tell you that that what is from God is not good for you. It's bad for you. The church want to brainwash you. They want your money. They want to control you. In the meantime, the church doesn't want your money. Not interested in controlling you. It is all given to God, to you by God, to help you to walk with God, to grow in God. Are you with me? So if you don't kill the flesh, you are going to sit with a big problem. Everything God is giving you that is good and holy and want to prosper you, you're going to keep on rejecting it, thinking it's bad for you. That is what the flesh will ultimately do. And Satan is using the desires of the flesh to get man to believe that the things given by God is killing them. And it's not good for you to go to church. It's not good for you to be planted. It's not good for you to give. In the meantime, God tells you, be planted. In the meantime, God tells you, be obedient. In the meantime, God tells you, be submissive. In the meantime, God tells you, give your tithes. In the meantime, God says to you, be involved in church. But if you don't take care of the flesh, it will constantly kick against the things God is giving you, given to, into your life to help you to overcome and to become strong. Satan makes us believe that God's stuff is bad for us. So in the beginning, when you're just born again, you have to understand that you need to quickly get yourself into the spiritual things. Get yourself to prayer meeting. Get yourself to home cell. Get yourself to be giving. Get yourself to reach out. Get yourself to disciple people. Get yourself into serving in the house of God. Do all those things because it's best for you. Doing that helps. The word of God and praying and all helps to kill the desires of the flesh. And when you're killing that sucker, know that it's a cat with nine lives. You're going to kill something, a desire of the flesh today, 2 years from now, it's going to say to you, how's it? I'm back. And then you're going to think, but I've tried to kill that thing. I thought I've killed it. How's it? I'm back. You have to constantly killing it by getting yourself into spiritual things, praying, fasting, discipleship, serving in church, reaching out, giving. Are you still with me? And still today, man is kicking against the things that God has given them to help them and not to destroy them. You might be sitting here this afternoon. You might be kicking against what God wants in your life. I'm here to tell you that God has a plan and a future with your life, that God does love you and that He has paid a price for you to have eternal life. But you might be so brainwashed by the world telling you, church is bad for you, church is going to control you, church just want this, and you're on this is a sect, and this is this. And then you will kick against everything You will even kick against the gift of salvation that God wants to give you. And today, nothing has really changed. Satan still, through the desires of the flesh, gets man to believe that God is against them, that God is not for them, that God has no plan and a future for them. Now, when you read this whole scriptures, the whole Romans chapter 7, you find that the Apostle Paul said the following. He said, I came to the conclusion of the following things. He says that the law of God is good, it's holy, and it is just towards man. And Paul is explaining, he's saying, I have come to the following conclusions. Number one, the law of God is good, it is just towards man, and it is holy. Then he says the following, the law was given to make us aware of sin in us and the danger of sin. It's beautiful. Go read it there from Romans chapter 7, verse 13 to 25. He says, I come to this conclusion that God's law that was given to man is good. It is there to expose sin and to show us the danger of sin. Then he says, I came to the conclusion that the law through its commandments made sin exceedingly more sinful. He says, the commandments through the law make sin exceedingly more sinful. Then he said, I have found that the law is spiritual and not carnal. I came to the conclusion that the law is a spiritual thing. It is not just stuff written on stone tablets. It is spiritual. You have to get to the conclusion that the Bible is spiritual. That it's not just a book with papers. That it is alive. It is active. It is ready. It is ready to help you and to get you to grow and to realize where you fall short so that you can fix it. Are you still with me? He then says also, I came to the conclusion what he is doing, he does not understand. Have you ever come to the conclusion in this whole thing called church, what you're doing, you don't really understand? Or was it just me? Is there anybody in this place that can honestly say that at some point in your walk with Jesus, you thought about it, what am I doing? I don't really know what I'm doing. Anybody? Or is it just me? Paul said he came to the conclusion what he's doing, he doesn't understand. Now listen to what he also came to a conclusion to. He says, Paul came to the conclusion that it's no longer him, the new man, that is doing the wrong stuff, the sinning, but it's the sin that dwells in its members. Woo! Can you remember that the scripture said that you are a spiritual man, you have a soul, and in your body, you live in a body? Now you are doing the church thing, you are in the kingdom of God, you're going for it, having a life, and then you find yourself sinning. And you find yourself in wrong places. And you don't know, how did I get here? How could I do such a thing? Paul said he came to another conclusion. That when he's born again, it is not him, the new man, the spirit man, that is doing the sinning. He says, it's the stuff in his body. What stuff is in his body? Fleshly desires. The fleshly desires get him as a unit, spirit, soul, and body, to sin. But he says, but I realize that it's not the new man. It's not the spiritual man. It's not me, the man of the spirit. It is the stuff that is still dwelling in my body that Satan is using to draw me back into the world and back into the... Now, if you don't get this understanding, you will hammer yourself all the time as a child of God when you find yourself sinning. Now, it doesn't give you a license to sin. Now that you know this, you can now focus on the real stuff that is dragging you and trapping you to sin. That's the fleshly desires. Paul says, I came to the conclusion that I'm a new spiritual man. I have a soul. I live in a body. And when I'm sinning as a Christian, it's not the new man that is sinning, but it is the problem in my members. Stay with me. He says also, he came to the conclusion that nothing good dwells in the flesh. He came to the conclusion that here in his body, the physical body, nothing good dwells. In the flesh, nothing good dwells. Then he says he came to another conclusion. He says, for to will is present, but how to perform what is good, he cannot find. All of you that are born again, you don't want to sin. But sometimes you don't know how not to sin. He says, what he finds in him is that the will to do what is right is present. But to perform what is right is a different story. Any of you that, as you walked in your journey with God, you said, I'm never going to do that again. I never want to do that again. And then you do that again. And then you condemn yourself that you don't come to church, you don't come to a home cell, don't come to God anymore because you're constantly stepping into it.
Yep, that's right.
He says, I came to the conclusion that in me is something that want to do right. But to perform how to do it is a total different story. Now listen. He says, he then found a law. He says that evil is present with him, the one that wants to do good. You have to go read that and you have to listen to what I'm saying. I don't have enough time. Paul says, what I also now find is that evil is present. Pastor Eugene, Pastor Stephen, because some people, and Norman, come here. This is one person. Spirit, come here, spirit. Yeah, you. You spirit. You the flesh, bro. I'm not negative. Don't look at me like it. You know I love you. Come. Stand here. Come here, soul. That's you. Spirit, soul, body. Paul says, I came to the conclusion that here, nothing good dwells. You got it? All right, listen. He says, then I found a law in this being, that's you, that evil is present with who? With the one that wants to do good. Who's the evil here in this scenario? Put up your hand, flesh. Paul says, I found a law in me, a law that evil is present with the one, the spirit, that wants to do good. Stay with me. He says, for he delights in the law of God according to the inner man, the spirit man. He delights according to the inner man to the law of God. The real you saying, yes, I want to do this. I want the word of God. I want to go pray. I delight in the things of God. I want to reach out. He says, but I see another law in my members. See, there's another law there in his body, warring against the law of his mind. He says, he finds stuff here that is making war against your mind. And you in your mind is saying, I want to do God's things. I want to pray. I want to reach out. I want to be in church. I want to live pure. I want to. And you delight in the law of God, on the word of God, the things of God. He says, but he finds another law here where nothing good dwells. It is constantly attacking the mind, constantly. Now that stuff that is attacking, Satan is using the fleshly desires to attack that mind, you. Stay with me. He says, this law brings him, the new man, into captivity to the law of sin in his members. Don't look at me like you don't understand. I'll keep you here for the next service as well. This man is born again. He says, but the stuff here is making war against the mind. And when they start to control the mind, it takes the inner man captive to the laws of the sin. So the mind is ready. Don't move, spirit. The mind is ready. The mind, I want to do God's will. I want to pray. Are you focusing? You want to transform your mind. You're doing the things of God. But there's a law here that says, I will attack, 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 I will attack. The moment it keeps on attacking and conquering the mind, what it ultimately will do, it leads the spirit man. Listen to what he's saying. You go read it there. It takes, I just, exactly, the law brings him, that law that's attacking the mind, brings him, the new man, into captivity to the law of sin in his members. He says, the new man, he says, he came to the conclusion, the new man served the law of God with his mind, but the law of sin with its flesh. He says, the new man, the new me, serves the law of God through the Spirit, but the law of sin through the flesh. Now listen. Then he says, who can save such a wretched man like myself? He's born again. He's talking about a spirit, soul, and a body. He says, thank God for Jesus. He says, thank God for Jesus. Because Jesus saved me from death and put me into life. Now that same Jesus is going to save me from this war in me. That when I work with Jesus and in the things of Jesus, then me and Jesus kick the devil and his members in the flesh, in their teeth, amen, and say, no more. You will come to church, amen, devil. You will come to prayer meeting, devil. You will give your tithes, devil. Amen. But if you don't kill the desires in the flesh, it ultimately wants to kill the body where it dwells. Because when it kills the body, these two chaps is out of here. And God is saying, I don't want this to be killed because I need this to do a job here. But every time I want to kill the desires in here, you run away. You run from me and not to me. And the devil is selling here for the desires in the flesh. No. You just attack the mind. Attack the mind. Attack the mind. Attack, conquer the mind. And didn't the Bible say that the battle is for the mind? The battle is for the mind. And Paul says, me, my soul, I delight in the law of God. I delight in the things of God. I find the law in me, the law of my mind, that want to serve the law of God through the Spirit, But there's another law in me, the law of sin, that is warring against the law of my mind and taking me into captivity. Friends, I want to tell you, give your pastors a big hand. No flesh can inherit the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said you have to be born again. If you are just born from humans, you have to be born from God to go into heaven. And when you are born from God, you have to know that God has now given us through the Spirit and the Word the power to kill the fleshly desires that is dwelling in our body. And listen to me, friends. If you don't kill those stuff and work with God, it's eventually going to lead you back to death. In Romans chapter 8, it starts, it says, therefore, because you understand this, which I just explained, the whole chapter 7, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. He says, because you are working with God, you understand this. Whenever you stumble, there is no condemnation for you. Turn back in forgiveness towards God. Run to Jesus. Get yourself back into the Spirit and keep on walking. But I tell you today, when you keep on living in the flesh as a born-again Christian, what knocks at your door every time after you had sex out of marriage or been on a porn site or the condemnation knocks at your door. It will not leave you. It goes to you, to the loo, when you shower, when you go to friends, when you go to church. That condemnation goes everywhere. And then when you want to come into church, that condemnation does this. Go to church. And then eventually when you get into church, pastor preach the word discerns, the word is alive, the word wants to help, the word is cutting you like a two-edged sword, and what that condemnation tells you, oh, he's judging you.
Yeah.
I'm judging you. I'm trying to get your backside out of hell.
That's right.
I'm trying to get the monkey of condemnation from your back.
Yeah.
But I'm judging you. Then you leave here, you don't deal with the condemnation through turning to God, asking Him to forgive you and get back into the Spirit. Condemnation goes with you at home again. And then condemnation gets you to do all the stuff that you don't want to do again. Then condemnation finds his other brother, double condemnation. Later, you are so covered with condemnation. Everywhere over you, you don't want to come to church, you don't want to know nothing about God, you are so irritated.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't allow the Word of God to wash you. Keep on flirting with the flesh, you will die. I don't know, care what preachers tell you, you will die. Adam and Eve thought God joked. And then they died. You keep on being born again, but you don't live holy. I tell you today, I warn you. The Bible says it will lead to death. The Bible says it, it says it. But God says when you get into the Spirit, oh boy, it leads to abundant life. Family, make war against the fleshly things, that evil desires that is so easily enticing you to sin. Read what Paul said. Buy, you don't even have to buy it. Get the DVD or the sermon. Go take Romans chapter 7. And then therefore, if you've done all this which is sinning, know that it is not you, but the evil desires that dwells in you that will get you to do it. And therefore, you and I need to take those evil desires and start making war against them. Kill them and keep on killing them. And remember, as long as you live on this planet with this suit that is still corruptible, if you don't take care of them, they are going to come back. You are at war. The Bible says we are not war against the flesh only, but against principalities and spirits and things in high places. I'm telling you today, make war against those evil desires. Get into the spirit, read your word, pray, tithe, don't lose heart. And all these things will help you to kill the flesh that so desperately want to destroy your life. Amen. Let's close up our eyes. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for understanding. Lord, I pray that you will just bring more and more clarity of this topic to us individually. Thank you that there's no condemnation because we are in Christ. But thank you that your word will always bring understanding to us. It will always bring correction to us. It will always show us where we are wrong if we embrace it and receive it. And then it is active and ready to restore, to build up, and to energize us and to bring new life. Right now, I want to pray for people. Father, you know them by name. You know where they stand before you. You know that they don't have a relationship with you. Maybe they are caught in religion. Maybe they are hurt. Maybe they don't know that you love them. But right now, I want to pray for them, Father, and I ask you to speak to their hearts. And you are here today, you just know that your life is in a mess. You're not sure that if you die today that you will spend eternity in heaven with a loving God. You've never heard that God loved you. I want to tell you that Jesus loved you so much, or loves you so much, that he died for you on a cross 2,000 years ago so that today you can choose and have eternal life. And if it's you that I'm talking about and you say, Tabu, that's me. I don't have the assurance of eternal life. I don't have a relationship with God, but I want to have a relationship with God. I want to be God's child. I want to receive what Jesus did for me on the cross 2,000 years ago. But I want to ask you, can I please pray with you? While all eyes are closed and heads are bowed and you say, that's me. Then I'll ask you to quickly slip up your hand high and say, Tabu, here I am. Please pray with me before we go today. And before we go, I'm going to pray with you. And your life is going to turn around. Christ is going to step into your life and everything is going to change before we go today. You haven't put up your hand yet. You know you should. Quickly just slip it up high. Thank you. Here in the front, I see. There I see. If you've put up your hand, you can put it down. Just slip up your hand. Say, Tabu, here I am. I want to make right with God. Thank you. In the back, I see your hand. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. There's hands in the back going up. Listen, here in the front. You're not alone. There's many people here today. God is calling you. He's just telling you, come, I love you. I died for you. I want you as mine. What a great God it is to serve, knowing that he cares about you. I'm going to ask one more time and then we're going to pray. You haven't put up your hand yet. Slip it up now. Say, Tabu, here I am. Pray with me and we're going to pray together. Thank you. Father, we thank you for every person here. We love you. We thank you that you love them. Right now, I pray that you will give them faith to stand for you in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Well, if you receive, you know what? God loves you. We love you. The reason why you are here in the front, the Bible is very clear. It says, no man can get you to make this decision except the Spirit of God. That means you have just heard the voice of Jesus telling you, come back home. That's wonderful. You're going to leave here with Jesus in your life and knowing that you can hear his voice. Amen. Is there somebody coming? Amen. Amen. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. I want you to make up your mind. If you are meaning business with God, God means business with you. Listen to me. No matter what you did, everything is going to change today. If you commit your life to him, that means you turn your back on your past, you plant yourself in the church, you go the other way. Amen. I want you to put your hand on your heart and pray this out loudly. You have to pray it out loud. It says, Heavenly Father, thank you for today that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I heard your voice, ask for forgiveness. Thank you for receiving me just as I am. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for Jesus that came to save me. I believe that he's your son, that he died for me so that I can have life. Thank you, Father, for loving me. Use me for your glory and fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website, www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.